before I begin the sermon this morning. It'd take quite a while, but the story of Esther reads like a made-for-television movie in it. We'll find suspense, intrigue. You'll find betrayal, conspiracy, and treachery. The cast of characters includes a king, a queen that loses her throne, an orphan girl who becomes a queen and saves the day, a man of God, and then, of course, a villain. However, in the end, there was good news because of God's great intervention in the lives of his people. All the Jews in every region throughout all Persia celebrated the saving of their life. Even today, the Jews celebrate Purim, which is the great celebration of Queen Esther saving their lives. Joy and gladness in all the land for the Jews have been spared. It is a happy ending to a remarkable story full of twists and turns and plots and deception. Yes, a person could take the story of Esther and make quite an interesting TV movie of the week. So the story is very practical. We can glean from the story of Esther many things, but we must be reminded that this story of Esther is named for the young orphan girl who became a queen. We're reminded of the great king of Persia, who was an ungodly man who had a young Jewish man or a man on his staff who raised this young orphan girl, who knew that the king was going to be killed by a mean plot, went to the king and told him about it and found favor in his sight. We know that the queen of this great king, who refused to come and be publicly displayed among a seven-day celebration. And so he deposed her, and in looking for another queen, he looked out all over his kingdom. And this Jewish faithful servant Mordecai had this orphan girl who grew up to be a beautiful girl. They took to the king, and the king said, "I want her." And then the plot began with one of the king's men said, "I want all of your subjects to bow down to me. For I am your servant." Except this orphan girl's father, Mordecai, was Jewish, and he said, "I bow before no man but God." So he went to the king, this villain did, and said, "He will not bow down, and I would like for you to decree that all of his people are killed, dead, annihilated." And he said, "Make it so." When the Jewish servant found out whose name was Mordecai, he had all the people of the Jewish nation dressed in sackcloth and ashes, mourning their sure and certain death. Except this little orphan girl, Jewish, who grew up and had the ear of the king. He sent word to her, and her servant went out to him and found out that they were all in sackcloth and ashes because the king had decreed that all the Jewish people would be killed. And Esther, "You can save a nation." And she told him, "But let me tell you, you can't just go to the king. You have to wait till he summons you." And Mordecai looked at her and sent her a message and said, "You may have been put in this position for this very thing and this very time." She told all of them to pray, fast for 3 days and pray. So she violated the king's order, and she asked for an audience, which for many in days past and in years past meant immediate death. But she had the courage of God, and she went to this great king. And he made another decree that the Jewish people could defend themselves. And so God, through this young orphan woman, Mordecai, this Jewish servant, and his blessing upon the Jewish nation, they could rise up and protect themselves and defend themselves from annihilation. And of course, the TV movie would say that this villain got what he deserved, because when the king found out, he had him hung by the very gallows that he'd made for the man who would not bow to him. So we think about this TV made for movie book that we have in the Bible. What lessons can we learn from it? What lessons can we use for ourselves? And I want us to turn to chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, and read these passages of Scripture for us today. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Now, Mordecai was the Jewish servant of the king. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. May God give his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. We find this great story. Many things that we could learn from this, but I just want to open up several things. Well, there are at least four things we can glean from this little book. First of all, we see that God will put people in the right place at the right time to serve him to accomplish his ultimate and sovereign will. For example, it's not coincidental that Mordecai, a Jewish servant, overhears two of the king's servants plotting to keep the king's execution. The fact that God had Mordecai in the right place at the right time to stop the assassination of the king of Persia was very important to the future of the Jews. Esther is another good example of God having his person in the right place at the right time. An edict from the king himself has gone out to destroy all Jews. Now, what you might not know is that this villain was an Amalekite, and the Amalekites and the Jews were not friends. They'd historically been enemies for a long time. And so we see that the plot thickens. So we find that an edict from the king himself has gone out to destroy these Jews. Mordecai knows that it's no veiled threat because of this hostility between their races. The lives of God's people are in grave danger. And Mordecai says to Esther, who knows? Perhaps you've come to the royal position for such a time as this, meaning to save God's people from destruction. It is no accident that Esther becomes queen when she did. God placed Esther in the right place at the right time to carry out his will and his plan for the salvation of his people. Mordecai knew that. And we find through Scripture that Esther learned this lesson. I want you to know that the same holds true for us today. God has us in the right place at the right time to serve him and to bring about the fulfillment of his will. We are partners in his will being done. It's not coincidental that you work where you work, that you live where you live. It's not coincidental that you've encountered the friends that you've encountered. It's not coincidental that you shop where you shop. It's not fate that you live where you live, that you have the relationships that you have, your friends, or any of the other things that affect your life. Things don't happen to you just by dumb luck, as some believe. It's providence. God has something for you to do. God has placed you where you're at to be an influence for him in the lives of people with whom you come in contact. It's no accident that you're here this morning. God has something for you today. God wants something of you today. He wants your heart. He wants you to say yes to him. As we say yes to God, he is going to use us, every one of us, to accomplish his purpose in us and the lives of others. You see, God gives us small whispers of awareness that we are where He wants us to be. Our job is to listen. I want to assure you, my friends, that God is with you and He has something for you to do for His kingdom. So we know that God puts people in the right place at the right time to do His bidding. He wants to be God to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. We find that another lesson that we can learn is that God's plan will be accomplished even if we don't participate. Listen to what Mordecai says to Esther. If you choose to keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance for God's people will come from another place. Now, whether Mordecai was speaking in faith, believing that God would deliver the Jews, or if he was speaking with some prophetic awareness about God, we are not sure. What we do know, however, is that he had every confidence that God was going to save his people, whether Esther got on board or not. However, even though God wants to use me and he wants to use you, even though God wants my obedience and your obedience, even God wants to give you the joy of working in his kingdom and the abundant life, let me make this perfectly clear. God's plans will not be foiled because of our inaction. The ultimate will of God will occur, and God will raise up someone else to do his will if you're not willing to. I remember as a young preacher boy, we were in the company of a great national evangelist. We were wondering how he got to be such a big name, how this person had such influence, the success of the ministry. And I remember him sitting down with these preacher boys and saying, you know, I want to share something with you. First of all, I know in my heart that I'm not God's first person for this job. He had somebody else picked out to do this. And I'm his second choice. And I realize that, and I pray every day, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me and empower me to be able to do what you've called me to do. You see, many people came to the Lord because that second person was willing to step up to the plate when the first person said, Lord, I'm too busy. I can't do it. I've got things going on in my life. I can't serve you right now. And that evangelist suffered a lack of joy, did not have the great feeling of being active in God's kingdom in a powerful way. But I will tell you, it's the same way in my life. It's the same way in your life. God does not need us to accomplish His sovereign will. He chooses to use us. He allows us to be used. He excites us about the kingdom work. And He wants it because He wants you to know the joy of being a vine keeper in His kingdom. Because He knows that's where we find our real joy, in knowing that He is working in and through us. We also find that Mordecai and Esther cooperated to do God's will. That's a lesson for us today. I heard about a church in Europe that had been utterly destroyed by bombing raids during World War II. The building was left completely wiped out, and there was absolutely nothing left standing of this church except a statue of Jesus with outstretched arms, like the one that stands in Rio de Janeiro, but on a much smaller scale. During the bombing raids, the arms and the hands of Jesus had been blown off. So the statue stood there disfigured with Jesus' arms and hands missing. When it came time to rebuild the church, some of the townspeople wanted to tear down that statue and then repair it. They wanted to have the arms and hands put back on it and reconstructed. And the members of the church said, no. No, we're not going to do that, because his missing arms and hands reminds us that we are the hands of Jesus in this world. And if the hungry are going to be fed, we must do it. If the naked are going to be clothed, we must be called to do it. If we are going to help the poor and to make sure they're taken care of, we are the ones that Christ sends to do it. The truth is that God's work is accomplished through us. We are the vehicles through which God's work is done. We are the ones that bring the good news of God to those who need Him so desperately. We are the arms and the hands and the feet of Jesus to our world. We excite people about the hope of Christ. We excite people about the peace of Christ that they can have even in the storms of life. We are His hands and we are His feet, and we are to cooperate in bringing about God's will in people's lives. We find that Esther shows us that God works in the hearts of lives of individuals, even those who don't know Him. Even though this king of Persia was a pagan, God was at work in his life. The king could have easily rejected Esther and continued to stand firmly committed to Haman's suggestion of annihilating all the Jews. And although the scripture doesn't tell us this, we know that by the things that are said and talked about in it, that God was working in the life of this king. There are too many things that happen to discount God's presence in his life. A close inspection of the story reveals that God was involved in the king's life at every point along the way. But you might ask, how can God be at work in the life of someone who doesn't even know him? Well, in theology, we call it prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the grace that God extends to every person, drawing them closer and closer, even before the work of the Holy Spirit is complete in their lives. Many Christians call it, you can see that conviction coming upon a person. You can see that drawing of a person coming closer to the decision of Christ. Well, in theology, we call that prevenient grace. And the extermination or survival of an entire race of people, and yet in God's providence, he softened the heart of a pagan king toward the children of God. And with the help of Esther and Mordecai, the lives of the Jews were spared. If you think about it, think back over your life about how God used someone to meet a need in your life. How God sent someone in your life, sometimes the most unsuspecting person, maybe in a different way than you had imagined, that God used someone to help you in your life, to give you a hand up, to speak a word of peace, to help you with something. And God does that. He's in the work. He's at work all around you all the time. I will tell you, God is at work in the lives of the people with whom you come in contact with every day. The Holy Spirit has preceded you, and that prevenient grace may be happening already. And that means the person you know who doesn't know the Lord yet, God may be using you to draw them to himself through your words and through your actions. We know that God is faithful. God can be counted on. We know that he will not leave us or forsake us. And we must know that God is working through us to accomplish his will. And that's the good news for us, because as we have seen in the book of Esther, we know that by God's grace and his providence, we are in the strategic places that God wants to use us. I pray for the day that people will knock my door down trying to get to do something for God. I pray for the day that people knock my door down and say, let me do more for the cause of Christ. Let me do something, if anything. Because I know that God wants to work in and through us as a body of believers and through us as individuals to bring about his good in this world and to present the gospel to people in a loving and rich way that they can understand. But I also know when we do that, we find no greater joy in our Christian life. We find no greater peace in our Christian life. many of you in this congregation have reached out to someone. You've prayed for someone. You've given them something. You could probably give witness and testimony of how good that made you feel. How wonderful it was to know that God used you in some small way to affect another person's life. We are blessed because we have the opportunity to cooperate in bringing God's plan to fulfillment. And we know that God is actively working in the lives of individuals all around us, even the ones we haven't met yet, that God will bring into our presence. Finally, I want to tell you that you're not here by accident today. God's plan for you is to be His child, working in His kingdom to accomplish His will in our lives and in our world. It was no accident that Esther was made an unlikely queen. It was no accident that Mordecai found favor with a pagan king. And it's no accident that you're here this morning. And God may be tugging at your heart. He may be tugging at your heart to accept Him as your Savior. To let Him be the king of your life. Maybe you're here and God is tugging at your heart to get involved in kingdom building. To get involved in doing something to further the kingdom of God. We're not here by accident. But we are here by the divine will of God, so that as individuals in a church, we can further the kingdom of God here and around the world through praying and giving and going. Esther teaches me that this is the will of God for you. It's the will of God for me. It's the will of God for us when everybody else could remain silent. That He's calling us to speak up, to stand up, to serve, to be engaged, so that others might know Him. So that others might know Him. That's the message of Lottie Moon. It's the message of peace. It's God's message. We're going to stand and sing that hymn of invitation, number 189, Child in a Manger. And you come as God leads you. If you need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, come and take me by the hand. If you need to join our church, come and take me by the hand. If you need prayer, engage me in ministry, come and take me by the hand as we sing.